Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Henry. Today I'm joined with one of my brothers in the ministry, Apostle Philando Brother. And today you're listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today's format is going to be a little bit different than what we normally have on this particular program. Today's program, Apostle Brother is going to ask some questions, and I'm going to do my best with my best to my ability to answer the questions that he's going to present to me. So I don't know any of the questions that he's getting ready to ask me, if the Lord will it, I will give a best answer as I can towards that question. With that being said, good afternoon, Apostle Browder. Welcome to the program. Introduce yourself, introduce your ministry, first of all, and then go ahead and ask your first question.
Good day, Archbishop Thomas Herring, Jr. Like you said, I'm Apostle Philando Browder of Kingdom Global Ministries in Clanton, Alabama, where we're building champions. We press toward the mark of the high calling. We make sure we teach the word of God. We stand on the foundation of what God has birthed us to do, and that's to speak life to their situations. Today, I want to come on and ask a couple of questions because really in the southern district of the United States, basically where we are, a lot of people really doesn't understand about the apostolic nor the fivefold ministry. So we are going to ask Archbishop Henry, give us an understanding about the apostolic and about the apostleship and what Paul released into the atmosphere of what he was birthed to do. Give us an understanding of where the apostolic was originated and what it's calling to do in the body of Christ.
Wow, you asked a loaded question off the rip. We're going to deal with this question at the Congress, but I want to give you a little short synopsis if I can. The apostleship, if you know anything about the original languages in the Bible, there's a Hebrew word for the word apostle. I cannot call it, but I do know when the Hebrew Bible was around the first and second century, second century, but around the time of Christ, right before Jesus came to this earth, there was about 60 or 70-something rabbis who came together, and they translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. And the Greek version of the Old Testament actually uses the word apostle several times in that Old Testament scripture. And in Hebrew chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus is an apostle sent from God like unto Moses. And so Moses then would become an Old Testament apostle. And so the apostleship is not just limited to the church. The apostleship is not just limited to the New Testament church. It is a ministry that we find in the Old Testament as well, because the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means to be sent, a sent one. Okay. And then you have another word, which is like which is apostatello, which is like I think it's an adjective or something to that nature that describes the sending action as well and all that. But the Bible, it starts in the Old Testament, because anytime God sends someone, they are sent, they are apostolic, they are sent. That's why you cannot say the bishop is an apostolic or any of the other gifts are apostolic. That's why you can't say some of this crazy stuff like some of these folks said that bishops can't work miracles, so they can't be apostolic, because that's not the Bible. If you're sent by the Holy Spirit, you are apostolic. That's the Bible, because the word apostle means to be sent. Jesus ordained 12 apostles. That's what Mark's gospel says, that Jesus ordained, the word ordained, there's over 11 Greek words in the New Testament that describes, that is translated as ordained. And these words literally means to be set aside for ministry. Set aside. Jesus set aside 12. These 12 were set aside by Jesus, who was the first apostle of the church. Then these 12 became the second grouping of apostles. God sent out other apostles through these 12 and Jesus. We got Paul. We have Barnabas. We have Matthias. We have Epaphras. We have Philemon. We have Timothy and Titus. We have Silas. Just to name a few, they're not just 12, they're more. The church should still have the apostleship working among it, because Ephesians chapter 4 says these words, that these gifts are in the church until three things happen, and those three things have not happened yet. If they have happened, then we don't need no bishops, we don't need no pastors, we don't need no prophets, evangelists, and none of that stuff. And so did I answer your question, sir? Because I don't want to get caught up in that.
You did real well, because in this season, the apostolic is being released. Signs, miracles, and wonders is manifesting now. But only to know who you are and whose you are, that gifting would manifest. So right now, we're seeing the apostolic is rising, has been released. And the next question is, can a woman be ordained or called by God or by Lord Jesus to be an apostle? Is there a gender there?
The Bible is specific about, matter of fact, the proof of what you said, the answer to the question is yes, God can call women to be apostles. The proof of that is not only in Scripture, but also outside of Scripture. The Scripture, there's a Scripture in the Bible that until maybe, I think, around the 12th or 13th century, that verse had always been translated as though it was a woman married to a man named, a woman named Junia, married to a man named Andronicus, and both of them was considered to be apostles. A bishop in the church by the name of John Chrysostom, he was a bishop of Constantinople. I can't remember the exact year, but I know it was before the 300s. This man, who did not like women bishops and women pastors and all that other stuff, he declared in one of his sermons, and I put his quote in the syllabus for this Congress year, he put a quote in there that says that Junia was an awesome apostle used by God, and she is worthy. She was a worthy woman, worthy of that particular call. And so God did call women apostles. Matter of fact, it was the Roman Catholic Church that changed, and this is really true right here, the Roman Catholic Church changed that woman's name in Romans chapter 16 to Junius because of their idea of a male-only priesthood. I don't have time to really talk about that. But all the other churches still believe that Junia was actually Junia, because in that day that the Bible was written, when Paul penned that, in that day and that time, there was no man named Junius. And you have to, when you interpret the Bible, I don't have a lot of time to talk about it. When you interpret the Bible, you've got to go back to the time that the thing is set in to understand what's going on. And in that day and time, there was no man at all that was named Junius, but there were women named Junia. And so we know, and it's history, it is in the church history, that Junia married a man named Andronicus, and both of them was apostles.
Amen, amen. So you're saying that male and female, both of them can manifest and do great ministry in the kingdom as apostles.
Say that one more time now.
So what you're saying, that male and female, both male and female, so now I'm taking you back to Genesis, and I'm going to bring you back to the book of Acts, and say that both male and female, both of them can do great ministry as apostles, just as Aquila and Priscilla.
They can. Aquila and Priscilla, another husband-wife team that was apostles. And a matter of fact, the unique thing about that, Priscilla's name is always mentioned first before Aquila's name. And that's interesting, because the woman is usually mentioned first before the man. The man is usually mentioned first before the woman. But in this case,
amen,
when you see the text in the Bible, it always said Priscilla and Aquila. And Aquila is the man, and Priscilla is the woman. And we know that we know from Scripture that Paul said that both of them, at that husband-wife team, they taught Apollos, who was a black guy, how to be an apostle. That's true.
Amen.
So, yeah, they are husband and wife apostle team. I know sometime on Facebook they had people that debated people because they said, how can two apostles be in one church? How can apostle and bishop be in the same church? But here you got Andronicus and Junia both serving as apostles at the same time. You got Aquila and Priscilla both serving as apostles at the same time. So, yes, it can be done. All because people don't believe it can be done don't mean it can't be done.
But the Scripture shows us that it can be
done. The Scripture shows. Yes, sir. The Scripture shows
that
it can be
done. So that Scripture stands no matter what the Baptist Bible Church or the Baptist Soldier Theology Church says, that it has ceased and the apostleship doesn't manifest anymore. Only the pastor, the preacher, teacher, or the evangelist manifests in the fold.
But see, that's faulty theology for them to say that the only ministry that still exists in church is just the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, because you cannot read Ephesians chapter 4 and get from the context of that the apostleship and the prophetic ceased. You cannot get that. You have to read that into the text, because there's nothing in the text that says that one day the apostle and the prophets shall cease. See, what they try to do, they try to take this text and apply this text to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it talks about love. But then it said that which is holy when it's come. But that which is holy is not the Bible, because they already had the Bible in that day. That which is holy means when Jesus part the sky one more time. We don't need prophets when Jesus is sitting right here in front of us. We don't need evangelists when Jesus is sitting right here in front of us. We don't need apostles and all these other gifts when Jesus is right there and we can behold him face to face. Lord, I almost got caught up then. Lord, have mercy.
So what you're saying now, we got to have Ephesians 4 for the church to manifest and to walk in unity and harmony, and for the church to be edified and built up. You got to have the apostle and the prophet.
We need everything. The only
everything.
See, one reason why people get upset about those two ministries is, first of all, many people have been taught the wrong thing about what we call ecclesiology. That means the study of the church. They have a wrong theology as it relates to what the church is. And they confuse the local church, which is the Bible local church does not look like the local church we have today. The Bible local church was one city made of a multiple congregation. Well, we would say one church, multiple locations. Today we have pastors on every street corner claiming their church is a local church. But in the Bible, it wouldn't be the church on the corner. It'll be the church in Corinth, the church in Philippi, the church in Albany, the church in Clanton, and all that. So it was one church, multiple locations, multiple congregations. And what happened is that when the bishop role began, when those apostles in the 300 and 400 began to turn into soothsayers and charlatans, and those prophets start turning to psychics and instead of being real men and women of God, then we see a decline in those offices. And what happened is the apostleship never ceased like people think, because the church is always apostolic. Whether you got an apostle by title or not, if a church is a church, the church is sent into the world. So the church itself is apostolic. Lord, have mercy. That'll preach by itself. Because the church is a woman,
and
the Bible
says
the church is apostolic.
Right.
You know, so you can't get away from that. And so if the thing is, and I say this on Facebook, and some people, they probably don't understand the context that I said it in, but you know what? You can't get the full benefit of a thing that you don't believe in. Okay. I'll say that again. You can't get the full benefit of a thing that you don't believe in. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And in order to believe God, the Bible says you must have faith. You must have faith to believe that God is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So then you cannot access the blessing of the apostolic when you don't believe in the apostolic. You only get the blessing of the pastor and the teacher when that's all you receive. You only get the blessing of evangelist when that's all you believe in.
Amen.
So you don't. So when you don't believe in apostolic, you don't see miracles, signs, and wonders. When you don't believe in the prophetic, you don't get a rhema word from God. You get good sermons, but you don't get sermons that are rhema word, that are sermons that shows that them folks really laid before the Lord and they heard from God. This is not just their intellect. This is not just what they – and I've been to school, so there's nothing wrong with school when I say what I'm about to say. But it's not just what they was taught in school. It is something that is living on the inside of them. Well,
that's real good, Bishop. That's real good.
Bless
so now my next question, this gonna top it all off. That when you only think it's just the bishop that's operating, because you've taught me that the pastor teacher is really the bishop to the local church. So then when the apostolic is manifesting, the apostle operates how?
See,
Do you interact with the bishopric?
Well, see, the apostle always, there's, and this is where a lot of disagreement is, especially because some people do not believe women, some people do not mind women being apostles. I mean, but because they look at the apostle as just being a gift and not being a leadership role. And then some people have no problem with that, but then they have a problem with women being bishops because the Bible says husband or one wife and all that. That's a different thing for another day. But when the bishop is the same as the pastor teacher. Now, every one of those fivefold ministry gifts are all teaching gifts. Every one. We call it fivefold or you call it fourfold. All of them are teaching gifts. All of them are doing one thing. And that's the Greek word for pastor is poimen, P-O-I, I think I'm spelling it right, P-O-I-M-E-N or P-I-O-M-E-N. It literally means to feed or to shepherd. So every one of those gifts that we see are feeding the flock. And so if you feed in the flock, a shepherd feed the flock. And so this is where a lot of the disagreement comes in, because some people say women can't. That's why some people have a problem with women being apostles. That's why some people have a problem with women being bishops, because they said, well, the Bible said the bishop shepherds the church. He pastors the church. A woman can't be a pastor, but she can be this other stuff. But every one of these fivefold gifts or fourfold gifts, they are teaching gifts. They are feeding. So everybody has some measure of teaching role. We may not have, watch this, we may all have the same level of authority or function, but we all have a teaching role. That's why in some churches you can have a church where they don't believe in women being pastors, but at the same time they have women as apostles, because, you know, each one of those ministries have different levels of authority. An apostle does not necessarily have to pastor a church, because his ministry is not just confined to a church. His ministry is mostly confined to the general church, which means that he will go, if he may be, have a headquarter in one church, but his ministry extends beyond that local church to other churches. I use myself, for example, my name. I'm Thomas Henry. I'm a bishop in the Lord's church. I'm getting ready to be elevated officially to be archbishop in the Lord's church. And I'm already functioning as that and all that. But my apostleship, I have been an apostle of the Lord since 2005 when hands were laid on me for that. And my apostleship is not just confined to my local church that I pastor. My apostleship is worked out through the Congress of Apostles and Bishops. It is worked out through the Apostolic Communion of Churches and through other ministries that are outside of those two organizations who invite me in to do what I do, which is train leaders, which is set churches in order, which is do things, help people raise up bishops and raise up ministries and all this other good stuff. That's my job, and I know you can vouch for that, because, you know, and not only that, because I'm an apostle, I am prophetic. I have an eye to see,
amen,
and I can see,
amen,
and all that. And I know how to minister based on what I see without exposing people's problems in front of everybody to the point that everybody knows who I'm talking about. And so the apostleship works in the church, but it's the local church, but it's not confined to just one church. Did I answer that for you?
You answered so that. Now, let's help some people out, because they feel that the bishop and the apostle is in a ranking. Most people think the bishop is this, apostle is that. Some people think the apostle is this, but the bishop is that. Give us revelation.
Well, in the Bible, and see, this is what messes up a lot of people, because everybody want to be great.
Amen.
Everybody want to be the head. And in the church, there literally only supposed to be one head, and that's Jesus. All the rest of us are under shepherds and servants. We trying to be big. And see, the problem is, this, especially in the black community, because we have an identity crisis, because we've always been subservient to the white man and all that, and there's nothing against white folks. Please don't get me wrong, they're my white brothers. Don't get me wrong when I say it, because I'm not prejudiced. I got white in my family. But for black people, we've always been subservient to the white race. And we, the only place we had any measure of authority in was the church. That's why a lot of our black pastors are so dogmatic about their roles as pastor or whatever part they have. But what happened is that most of us are not even, don't have any inkling or idea of the church history or what ministry looked like in the first century. In the first century, ministry was not what we call sequential or you going up a rank. Ministry in Scripture was about you, was about everybody being on the same playing field, whether you were lay person, deacon, elder, bishop, apostle, evangelist. We were all equal. I know that sounds crazy to some people because people can't comprehend that. They can't understand that. But it was a brotherhood. The reason why you know it was a brotherhood, Acts chapter 15, when there was a problem in the church, they formed a council. And on that council sat both apostles, the elders, which are the bishops, and the deacons, and the laity. That would be the brethren. The brethren would be consist of men and women. They sat on the council. James was the president of that council because when the council deliberated, James gave the consensus opinion of what the council had talked about and discussed, and it was law. And so James would be like the president of the council, president not being like what we think president, or president being the presiding officer, the first among equals. And ministry in the Bible is about, is not about who the head and who the tail, because everybody can't be the head apostle. Everybody can't be the tail. Everybody can't be the feet. Paul talks about this. We are a body that got many members. Everybody got different functions. And the only head is Christ. Every one of all the rest of us are either the neck, the arms, the legs, the body, the torso. You know, only head is Christ. And all the rest of us are servants. That's why he says to them, the servant in John chapter 13 is not greater than his Lord. Neither, the King James said, neither he that sent is greater than he that sent him. But literally, the Greek said, neither is the apostle greater than the apostle. Good God from Zion. That sent him. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Are y'all hearing me? So ministry in the Bible is not sequential or ranking, but ministry in the Bible is what we call complementary, meaning that everybody stands side by side. We don't have the same function, but we work side by side, everybody in their place. That means the deacon does their role. The bishop do their role. The apostle do their role. The evangelist do their role. The prophet. And when we do it, the body is fitfully and joined together under its head. And
so
that is Jesus.
When it comes to corporately together, it manifests what it says in Ephesians 4, that is for the unification.
Yes.
And for the building up, that when we can build up one another, we will become a corporately a kingdom.
Right, right, right.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
So now when we learn to get that revelation, then guess what? The corporate body will come, that kingdom, what Jesus talked about. So repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Boy, you about stirred up some tongues in me just then. Good God for Zion.
So the Congress of Apostles and Bishops, this great manifestation that's going to take place in September, you will grasp all this in 4 days and will become a great man of God, become a great woman of God, and become corporately manifesting the gift in the kingdom.
Yes, yes. Because you know what? What makes us so unique is that we're not just bringing you to Atlanta to teach you pomp and circumstance. We bring you to Atlanta to teach you how to be, how your church can be a manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. We teach bishops and apostles how to work together, for the glory of God, so that his church can look like his church, because the church is supposed to be the kingdom of God on earth. How can we have God operate on earth when the church look a mess, when nobody know how to operate? Everybody fighting each other for position. Because watch, did you say something a minute ago? In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he said first in the church, apostles, many people look at the English and they take off and run. But the word first there is the word proton in the Greek, P-O-R-T-O-N. The word proton has two meanings. It either means first in place or first in time. But the context, if you read it, tells you whether it is first in place, which is rank, or first in time, which is mean that it was that the apostle was the first ministry God set in the church. Not ranking, but the first one that comes in the church. And then when you look at the word secondarily, I can't remember the exact word. I know it's deuteros or deuter something. It literally means just what it said. It don't mean second in place. It literally means second in time. And so since it means second in time, it literally means that God said the first thing God put in the church was apostle. The second thing God put in the church was prophet. Then the third thing, the teacher there, is the bishops. God set bishops in the church to pastor the church. Then he set evangelists, because that's what the next gift you see, those two gifts that said healings and miracles, that's the evangelist. Then he set in the church helps, that would be the deacons. Then he set in the church governments. That's the ruling elders, the sister apostles and the bishops in running those local churches. And then it set those in the church who were not apostles and prophets, but they operated in what we call the word, those word gifts, like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. They weren't prophets and all that, but they did operate in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. You hear what I'm saying? And so God set, yes, that's the order God set this stuff in the church, that as the need came, God set a new ministry in the church. He didn't set it in the church because this is more important than that important. We're all important. Because if the church only need apostles, then how can the church work? Nobody going to pastor the church if everybody is apostles. Who's going to evangelize if everybody is apostles? Who's going to teach if everybody are apostles? And that's what's so messed about the church today. We got so many people running out the titles, and they ain't got called by God yet. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We got about 3 minutes left, so you got another question.
But that's all we need to understand, that the apostleship or the apostolic was birthed to manifest the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
To go forward and to bring those that which are lost to the sheepfold, to the covenant, that they may be healed, delivered, and set free. If we these giftings don't manifest in your ministry, not your church, because you're the church, but in your ministry, then something is wrong.
Right, right.
So that's why it's important to come to the Congress of Apostles and Bishops in September to grasp a revelation and see what God is calling you to do in your ministry that it affects the whole nation.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's what we have to do.
I'm excited about the Congress of Apostles and Bishops.
Because, you know, the book of Acts said, I think it's around either 10th or the 17th chapter, it says these words. It said, they have turned the world upside down, have come here also. And what's wrong with the church today, we have nobody got with any kind of power to turn the world upside down. We got folks killing black folks in the streets, and not just white, because there are videos popping up where they're getting the little white girls and the police officer beating up on the Hispanics and all that. And you know, they're mostly getting us, but they're getting them other folks too. But the thing is that if we chasing after Islam, Islam ain't got no power. But we need to be chasing after Christ, because it is God through Christ that gives us the power to do what the apostle did in the book of Acts. And folks will look at us and start running to Farrakhan and start saying, they that have turned the world upside down has come to Atlanta also. They that have turned the world upside down are all around the United States preaching the gospel to the point where now our society is bending the knees to Christ. Revival has hit this land. You know what? This country is long overdue for another great revival. We have not had a great awakening in this country in over 50 or 60 years now, and it's time that we have another move of God. And in order to have that move of God, we need the apostles to rise up. We need the prophets to rise up. We need the evangelists to rise up. We need the bishops to get in their place. We need the deacons to get in their place. We need some praying folks.
Yes.
We're out of time. Apostle Browder, thank you for joining me today, sir. God bless you. And,
bless you, sir. And
may God bless your ministry. Y'all have a great, great day. I hope you encourage people to listen to this. You have been listening to the apostolic voice. Amen. God bless.